We are nearing the end of the month of May, and we send our greetings to our friends. We thank you for your responses to the messages. Our subject today is the foreknowledge of God, and the basic text is Romans 8, 28 through 30. That is Romans 8, 28 through 30. Now, no subject in Christianity has been more confusing, more abused, more confused, more debate than this subject of the foreknowledge of God. If we can learn the meaning of this great truth, there will be for us peace and strength and blessing. There are two main schools of thought regarding God's foreknowledge, and we will consider those in the message. Let's bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do pray, and we do ask, and we do depend upon the Holy Spirit to give us truth from your word today, and cause the word to sink deeply into our hearts and lives. Help us as we study this subject, that it may become clear to us in your sovereign glory, your foreknowledge. Teach us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, let's begin by reading this text, Romans 8, 28 through 30. And we know that God works all things together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, there's our word, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that his Son might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. The foreknowledge of God. God's knowledge, God's omnipotence, it is all-knowing. But we're considering what God knows ahead of time, foreknowledge. I'd like to proclaim several general revelations, several general convictions before we get into specific text. Now, what can we say about God's foreknowledge? Number one, it is a certain knowledge. It is perfectly accurate. It is absolutely fixed. Every prophecy is certain. We read in Psalm 139 that God knows when we will sit down, when we will rise up, what we will think. He knows that ahead of time. Jeremiah wrote and quoted that God knew him even in his mother's womb. And he knew how he would use Jeremiah for his own purposes. We can say this with very solid convictions. God's foreknowledge is a certain knowledge, never a mistake, never with any flaw. It is absolutely certain. Secondly, it is a predetermined knowledge. That is, God knows what he will do down through the pages of history because he has planned it that way. And his plan must be fulfilled according to the counsel of his own will. God's plan is known to him because he has purposed it. And every individual whom God intends to use will conform to God's plan. We think of Mary and Joseph involved in the birth of Christ. And the angel comes to Mary and says to her, "You're going to have a son by the power of the Holy Spirit, and you'll call his name Jesus. He'll be Son of the Highest," and so on. Now, Mary submits to that angelic message. But we think, what if Mary says no? What will God do? Does he have plan B? Does he have to go into panic and call a summit conference of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and replan history? No. What about Joseph? The angel comes to Joseph and said, "The one to whom you are betrothed is going to have a child by the Holy Spirit." Now for Joseph, that could have been a scary thing, a scandal. And he could have said, "No, I want no part in this." God overrules whatever objections may have come from Joseph. None of them are recorded. And the birth of Christ is according to God's predetermined knowledge. It cannot be any other way. Thirdly, God's foreknowledge is a complete knowledge that covers everything, every event, every person, all of creation, hair and birds and details, all kinds of things. It's complete. Absolutely complete. God knows everything ahead of time because he has planned it to be ahead of time. Now, fourthly, God's foreknowledge is a sovereign knowledge. That is, it is independent of human counsel, independent of help. God sovereignly fulfills his will according to his foreknowledge. Those things are true according to Scripture. Now, some questions come. One, how can God know the future free actions of a human? How can God know the actions of a human whom he has created with a will? He can know that because he has planned those actions. He has planned the responses, and therefore he knows. Now there is opposition to God's foreknowledge from a group known as free will people, or Arminian. And this debate or controversy between God's sovereignty and man's will has raged throughout the years of church history, particularly in the 4th century between a man named Pelagius and Saint Augustine. Augustine stood for the sovereignty of God, God's predestination and election. And Pelagius stood for the human side of human decision and human free will. Martin Luther debated Erasmus fiercely. John Calvin had all kinds of opposition for his views on God's predestination. It seems like those who oppose God's sovereignty and his foreknowledge, it seems that free will is more important to them than God's omniscience. And they very readily become angry at the thought that human free will is overruled by God. And they become fierce and hostile. And they fight to protect their blessed human free will. Well, with this general introduction, let's turn now to some specific texts regarding foreknowledge. Sometimes a verb and sometimes a noun. Let's begin with Acts chapter 2 and verse 23. Acts 22, verse 23, really. That's the book of Acts, and chapter 2, and verse 23. Now, this is Peter preaching just after the resurrection. The people are gathered together, and it is Peter who stands to proclaim the truth. We read in verse 14, but Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, that let this be known to you and heed my words. The heart of his message begins in verse 22. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. Jesus of Nazareth, being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, there it is, being delivered or put on the cross, by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. Now there is the use of God's foreknowledge in Acts 2:23. What can we say about this? Well, the text itself says that the delivering over, the giving over to the cross, was planned, therefore known. The cross event took place at the perfect day, the perfect moment in time that God had planned before creation. And God's plan must be fulfilled. Can God's plan be overruled by human free will? No. No. 1,000 times no. We read here, it is according to God's fixed purpose. God's foreknowledge is united with his will. And if we choose to worship free will, we make God a mere observer and a spectator in history. But not so. God knows he will fulfill his purposes. Foreknowledge and predestination are one. Foreknowledge is as strong as predestination. And here is a text which clearly states that truth. Now let's turn back to the text we read, Romans 8:28, where we read that whom he foreknew, he also predestined. So they're going together. Now this foreknowledge relates to persons. The object of his foreknowledge are the people whom he is going to call, whom he is going to justify, and whom he will glorify. Whom he foreknew, he did all this. He predestined, called, justified, glorified. Now, the opposing view says this, that God's election follows after the free will action of humans. Just as an aside here, the word foreknowledge, the word know in Scripture, is far more than simply information. It indicates a relationship, an intimate love. We read in Genesis that Adam knew his wife. That means he had an intimate, loving relationship with her. And in this text, whom God foreknew, he also called. It's his people. It's divine determination to save his own elect. And God's commitment is known to him from all eternity because he planned it. Now a third text that we can turn to is 1 Peter 1 verse 2. Now there are not very many texts using the word foreknowledge, but we'll use three today. Let's begin at verse 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. That's 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims or strangers of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace be yours. Now again, the opposing view would say that God's choice is based upon his foreknowledge or foresight of that person's faith. That God looked down the tunnel of history and saw who would choose Christ, who would make a decision for Christ, who would come to Christ, and then God, on that basis, made his election. Nothing could be more dishonoring to God or place him in subjection to us. The person who comes to Christ does so because God has given the gift of faith, and he had determined beforehand to whom he would give the faith. God's predestinating and foreknowledge is not based on unknown human decision or activity. God's foreknowledge. What a wonderful, glorious truth that will cause us to worship him. And how we ought to just bow in subjection and humility and say, thank you, Lord, for being so great. And as we consider the general revelations of God's foreknowledge and these specific texts, what is our response? Well, first of all, our main concern as a Christian, the priority of our life should be this: to honor God's sovereignty. Not to spend our time defending or protecting the human will. Bow to his sovereignty. Live humbly under the umbrella of his sovereignty. Respond in praise and rejoice and worship the Lord God Almighty. Exalt Jesus Christ. Depend on the Holy Spirit. Submit to the authority of the Word of God. And live with encouragement to know that life is not by chance. We are not controlled by luck or fate or Satan or any other human. God is in control because he has planned and he has knowledge of his plan. Therefore, the proper response to God's foreknowledge is to bow in humility with thanksgiving. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truths in your word that teaches who you are and what you are doing. Thank you for your glorious attributes of being all-powerful and all-knowing, of being able to be everywhere present and to be so strong that you never change, you never compromise, you continue to work your plan. Thank you for that. We thank you as individuals for our life and your present providence in our life. We accept where we are. We count on you to help us through every trial and difficulty and heartache. And we thank you for the joy of knowing you and who you are. Praise you for such a great salvation and for the Word of God today, which teaches us the truth of your foreknowledge. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.